How much longer until you know someone who's dating their Alexa? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. The 2013 Spike Jonze film Her imagined a not-too-distant future where digital voice assistants become super lifelike.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well. How's everything with you?
Pretty good, actually.
And then it becomes a love story between man and machine, which seemed crazy, maybe a little gross. But since then, we've seen Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant evolve and spread to more devices. In the movie, there's a moment where Samantha, the AI, asks the main character a personal question.
You mind if I look through your hard drive?
Okay.
Okay, let's start with your emails.
That hesitation caught the ear of Amy Webb. She's the founder of the Future Today Institute, and we asked her to talk with us about the tech on display in the film and its implications. She says that scene in particular shows how naive we can be about our digital assistants.
The real interesting piece that doesn't really get addressed is that, of course, we've invited all kinds of companies into our lives to do that very thing. It's just that at the moment, we're mostly dealing in text and human-ish sounding voices. But that's going to be changing pretty soon.
So what are the technical obstacles that exist to us having the world of Her?
There are some technical hurdles to overcome just in listening and understanding us. That being said, there's a ton of work that's already been done that clearly shows that we're closer to this future than we may realize. So there's a field called behavioral biometrics that's in the process of being born. And this is where these spoken interfaces aren't just recognizing who we are, like it's Amy and she's using her computer, but how and what we are in any given moment. So for example, if we're talking a little faster than normal or a little slower than normal, or the pitch of our voice has gone up or it's gone down, you know, that system could know, for example, whether we're sick. That research is well underway.
I got to say, this movie is probably the most optimistic that I've seen of films when it comes to, you know, artificial intelligence. Are we shifting our attitudes towards what the singularity represents?
So that's so interesting to me that your read on this movie is optimistic. Mine is totally not. Mine is that I found it to be incredibly bleak and depressing. You know, one of the, I think, key parts of the movie has to do with social isolationism and a future in which we prefer to talk to machines than to each other. And in a lot of ways, the OS in the movie, the AI agent Samantha, becomes a stand-in for some of the real people that had been in Theodore's life. The idea that our current digital addiction, which sort of tethers us to social media, might someday soon extend to spoken interfaces, I think is a real possibility.
Do you think all this is going to create more addiction to tech?
Well, you know, historically speaking, the things that humans find sticky, that we enjoy, are those things that reflect the world as we know it back to us. And I think that's an interesting prospect when we're talking about smart spoken interfaces. What happens when we are in a situation in which there are smart AI agents that have voices modulated to tones that are most pleasing to us, that we feel very much like we're in control of, but in fact, we have very little control over, you know, and these systems are making choices and decisions for us that sometimes we ourselves would not make. I think that that is a interesting prospect that was teased out a little bit in the movie, but I think which we've already started to see play out in real life.
Yeah. At one point, the main character, he starts to have doubts and kind of hides from his AI because it's pointed out to him that she can't really challenge him like a human relationship would. And the answer that then allows him to move forward with his relationship is essentially his AI telling him to just accept it. And that sounds like something that you'd be railing against.
Well, you know, already in the year 2019, we're using a tremendous amount of technology in it. Because there's been a financial transaction involved, we feel like we own that technology. You know, if people feel like they own their cell phones or that they own their computers, we really don't. I mean, we own the rights to use the devices, but we are umbilically tethered to one or more big tech companies who are in control of those ecosystems and are very much making a lot of the decisions for us without asking us what we think. If what we crave in the future is a humanistic relationship where we want to be challenged, or we want to be, we want to have arguments, you know, whatever it is that we want. And the OSs have been programmed to get us to click more, to get us to use them more. I think it'd be a tricky thing for a developer to figure out not just what would please us, but what would displease us in a way that would itself be pleasing. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I'm not sure how a developer would encode. Like, I don't know. I think that would be a rough one.
Amy Webb is our favorite futurist. So when I said I thought the film was optimistic, I just meant Terminators weren't trying to put humanity into the Matrix. And now for some related links. So what's new in voice assistant technology? How about shoes you can tie using Siri? Melissa Locker writes for Fast Company that Nike is developing a new shoe that features its Fit Adapt technology. No longer will you actually have to bend over to tie your laces. You can tell Siri to tighten or loosen them for you. Yes, you can tell Siri to squeeze your feet. It'll connect to your Apple Watch or other device, but not to the last lingering shreds of your self-worth. Looks like the price tag will be more than $350. You know, as someone who lives in a shoes-off house, this is somewhat tempting to me. What I'd really shell out for, though, is an option that whips my guests' shoes off as well. The voice assistant is a big competition space, and a new entrant into it will be the BBC. The Guardian reports that the UK-based broadcast giant is aiming to rival the Alexa with an assistant it will call Beeb. The British Broadcasting Corporation wants more control over where voice assistants send users, like towards BBC content. In fact, you can't listen to BBC radio through Alexa anymore. That happened because Amazon refused to share listenership data. My favorite part of this story is that the BBC is asking its staff to record their voices to help the software understand regional accents. Which reminds me of a clip from the TV show W1A, which is from, you guessed it, the BBC. Guys, it can't get any more perfect. See for yourself. We've got a link at marketplacetech.org. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.